Hello, everyone. I'm Jensine Bard, and welcome to Testimony, where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given. Revelation 12:11 tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, a testimony of your story for His glory.
She is the chief executive officer of a global broadcasting network based out of Jerusalem, Israel, and the U.S. Is the author of Looking for a City, based on the harrowing account of lives threatened and ultimately rescued from a Lebanon broadcast studio, avoiding martyrdom with safe passage and relocation back to Israel, thanks to the leadership of our next guest. Jackie, as her friends call her, has also been host to many celebrities of renown through her 20-plus career in coordination efforts for the Christian Broadcasting Network, and is currently host of her own program, High Adventure Television Broadcast and Gems from Jerusalem Radio, reaching millions with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Her over 30 years of service for the Lord in networking peoples, cultures, and communities from around the world sounds like the dream come true. But it wasn't always this way. And this, dear friends, is the story you are going to hear today. A story of overcoming and the dramatic life-changing events that would bring this small-town girl from a life of obscurity to a world waiting to hear her voice for God's glory. From brokenness to wholeness, you will be encouraged that nothing is impossible with God. Would you please join me in welcoming my very special guest and dear friend, President and CEO of High Adventure Ministries and Voice of Hope Global Broadcasting Network, Jacqueline Mitchum Yockey. Jackie, welcome to Testimony.
Oh, Jensine, thank you so much for giving me the honor, allowing me to be a guest on your wonderful program. You've had a lot of exciting people, and I am just privileged to be a part. Thank you.
Well, you are one of those exciting people, Jackie. It's an honor to have you. I realize my introduction of you just touches the surface of all you've accomplished, but your beginnings were not so great, and that's what I would love for you to talk about in part one of our conversation today. Would you please tell us that story?
Yes. You know, as I think back, I want to have a setting here of the period of time we're in. It's just at the start of the revolutionary 70s. It's in the 60s. And I had gone through a life where I always had a plan B, no matter what. You know, you could drink, you could take pills, you could do everything, and you could overcome it, live a life any way that you felt would make you happy. It was the generation of pleasing yourself. And as I think back to my early childhood, I had been brought up in a godly home, but I flipped right out, got my eyes on people, and I thought, I'm going to have some fun, because I'd been brought up in a restrictive life. You can't do this. It was, you know, it's the vision people have of Santa Claus. He knows if you're sleeping. He knows if you're awake. You better be good. And that was my impression of what God was like, that if I could only be good. So I tried to be good, and when I got out, the Bible tells us that there's a lot of pleasure in sin. And so in this me generation atmosphere, I started drinking with the wildlife. I had this failed marriage, and everything I did was a failure. And yet, on the outside, you would have thought I was a success. I was promoted. I worked in aerospace. I kept getting promoted. And when Rolls-Royce came over from England, I was selected to represent the United States. Oh, dear, I hope I didn't set back our diplomatic British relationship there.
Wow,
but anyway,
great.
Just wild. And the more I got out in my life with a divorce, a failure as a mother, what am I going to do? I tried plan A, just have fun. That didn't work because I went into plan B, where we'll all just quit doing all this partying, this fun. And I know, Jensine, that we've talked, and you remember that generation, the hippie generation, do your own thing. Wow, man, it's groovy. And I was in Hollywood in that lifestyle. It was so different, where everything was love and there were no boundaries. And yet, in the back of my mind, I knew there was a God. So now, plan C. What could I do for plan C? Hey, how about suicide? You know, if you can't get out of it, if you can't overcome it, then how about that? That was a thought, really. But you know, once again, my early teachings, one of the good things I'd been taught was you'd go to hell if you killed yourself. So that was kind of holding me back. Now I talk about it kind of jokingly, but I was really very serious, always trying to think what I could do to get out of a bad situation. And even in my life now, if something happens, try to have a backup plan, but it's through a different channel. So what I did is I thought, you can't do this. And after a terrible month of drinking, pills, not being able to show up for my job, feeling like a terrible failure, a darkness just settled over me. And my mother and grandmother were totally devout Christians. And for some reason, they called, and my mom called and said, Jackie, please go with me in the morning to this prayer meeting. Now, they knew I wouldn't, because even her pastor wouldn't come and see me anymore. I was just not the person. It's hard for me to remember how terrible I was. But I think I slammed the door and, you know, just had such a bad attitude. But I told her I'd go with her. And the morning of that prayer meeting, November 5th, 1969, I went. And I couldn't even look at anyone because, once again, I had been drinking and taking pills. Pills to go to sleep. Pills to wake up. Pills to calm my nerves.
Now, Jackie, for the benefit of our listening audience,
yes.
Can you just tell me, can you tell them, what drove you to drink? What drove you to take the pills? You came from a, quote, good Christian home. A praying mother, a praying grandmother. Why wasn't that enough?
Because there was something still inside of me. It was feeling a need to know that I was loved. In spite of everything, if you would ask me, I would say that I just did not feel loved. My concept of God was that he hoped I would make a mistake so he could send me to hell. Back in my days, you know, God was a God of wrath. That was the message I got. And I don't think it was really until the late 60s and early 70s that we were ever taught that God loves us unconditionally. He has a plan for our life. If that was a message out there, believe me, and I sat in church 5 times a week, I never got it, never heard it. We had the evangelist coming through, and let's see, what was their favorite song? There's an all-seeing eye watching you. Did you ever hear that song, Jim Bean? Terrible. I mean, you felt like God was a big eye in the sky. And so that's just how I was feeling. But the more I went out seeking fulfillment in the world, the more my life seemed to... It did. It was just falling apart. And yet, as I say, I had a well-paying job, but nobody, I think people knew, but I didn't, you know, I was hoping they didn't. So I walked into this church and went down to the front when these ladies went to pray, and I went over in a corner by myself and I said, God, look at me. Look what I've done. I said, I know you don't want me. I told him everything. I was just very honest. Told him it like he didn't know. And I said, but if it is true that Jesus Christ is your son and you can help me, I would really appreciate it. And at that moment, I could not move. And I heard a voice say, Jackie, be still and know that I am God. I want you to read your Bible. I want you to pray. And if you do this, I'm going to use your life when I shake the nations of the world. You can tell right there. I knew that God was personal. I knew that God loved me. I knew that I had a destiny, that there was something out there. What I knew, Jen Bean, is that I was born again. I knew it was all true. I knew that my sins were forgiven and that I would never be that horrible person that I was again. And I had hope. So that's what happened.
Jackie, that is phenomenal. And I think this is a good place for us to stop. We'll continue our conversation next week. But I'm hearing you say that just going to church, reading the Bible, having a form of religion, but not really having the power to live it, is not what it's all about. But you found out what it's all about when you became born again. You felt the love of Jesus, probably for the first time in your life, and that is what changed your life. And we are going to continue, ladies and gentlemen, with the testimony of Jackie Michimyaki next week. Stay tuned. Jackie, thank you for being with us on Testimony.
Oh, Jim Bean, thank you so much. I really look forward to the next interview so you can hear what God can do with someone who really had nothing to offer.
If you would like more information, you can visit our website at jensinebard.com. That's one word, jensinebard.com. Or write to us at Testimony, P.O. Box 1333, Palm Desert, California, 92261. That's P.O. Box 1333, Palm Desert, California, 92261. I'm Jensine Bard. Please join us again for Testimony.
She was told by God she would be used to shake the nations of the world. But how would this small town, divorced, single mother of one, who was already feeling the pain of failure and despair, do what God had asked? Here to tell us her amazing story is President and CEO of High Adventure Ministries and Voice of Hope Global Broadcasting Network, Jacqueline Mitchum Yockey. Jackie, welcome back to Testimony.
Oh, hi, everybody. Hi, Kenzine. I really appreciate you having me back.
Well, it's great to have you back. Now, Jackie, in part one of our conversation last week, you shared with our listeners the struggles you had to overcome to be all that God was calling you to be for Him. You overcame alcohol and prescription drug addiction, the pain of a bad marriage, and the feeling of failure as a mother. What we know now is that God turned all of this around for you simply because you asked for His help in childlike faith and obedience. And now, which is what I would love for us to talk about in part two, God is using you to literally shake the nations of the world as He promised you He would. Can you share with our listeners in this segment the practical ways God is fulfilling that mandate He gave you and how anyone listening can become involved to help support your amazing ministry and global work? Jackie, tell us that story.
Well, again, when you just remember back, this is 1969, over 40 years ago, there was no place for a woman. We did not have what we have today, Christian TV, Christian radio. We had Christian radio, but nothing to the extent it was. So here I am, a divorced woman, straight out of alcohol pills background, and I got up off my knees, and I looked. Remember, last week I told you how this was kind of a different crowd. It was a going-to-hell crowd. And I remember getting up and saying, has anyone ever heard God would speak to a person? I knew exactly what they were thinking. Now what is she doing? We put up with all this foolishness. Now she's heard something. And I knew it was God, though. And I think God puts ideas in our head. We think they're our own. I ran over. I saw a Bible. I opened this Bible. I don't know why I did it, but if you can believe, my finger was on Psalms 46:10, the scripture. God had just spoken to me. Be still and know that I am God. Now I knew that I was onto something. And just at that time, my brother, Steve Conaway, was a member of a group called The Truth, came into this church. And I said, Steve, have you ever heard God would speak to a person? He said, oh, yeah, God speaks to people. I said, well, how much of my life does He want? I'd heard a lot about this tithing. And Steve told me a most wonderful story, told about a man who had waited all day in India to see a king. And all he wanted was to see this king. All he had was a bowl with a little rice in it. And here comes a shadow. And all of a sudden, it stopped before him. And he said, give me your rice. And unknowingly, this was the king. The man couldn't even lift his head. And he gave him three little grains of rice. And the king went on. And now, where those three grains of rice had been were three gold nuggets. And he said, oh, if I'd only known, I would have given him everything. I said, that's it. God, I'll give you everything. My brother did not have time to talk to me. He said, Jackie, I'm going down. I'm going to see a friend of mine, Winky Pratt, and if you have any more questions, go with me. So I get into the car, run down, and again, all this happened within several hours. And I heard Steve talking to Winky. They were talking, well, God did this. Were you with me when Arthur Blessett was over on the street? Well, I've been with Andre Crouch. All these people, and I thought, this is what I've got to do. I've got to get into something like this or I'm not going to make it, not with my friends. And I said, oh, Winky, do you know where someone like me might be able to minister? And he said, you want to be in the ministry? He said, what would you do? And I said, oh, he knows all about my past. I'm so embarrassed. And I said, yes, I do. I want to. He said, what would you do? I said, oh, I could be a Christian secretary. He said, "You?" And little, he left, spun around, and ran. I did not know that Lauren Cunningham, the head of Youth with a Mission, they had been praying for over 6 months for a Christian secretary. They were very desperate. So that's how I started, Gen Z. I started Youth with a Mission. I went into a Christian Living Tapes, the first Christian tape ministry. Then I went to work for George Otis. All of this, God opened every one of these doors, and I started working. A person who had nothing to do, who would in 8 years stand in the Los Angeles airport with an old suitcase, $10. My son had graduated from high school. And God spoke to me in that airport. And he said, "If I keep you in your field, have you ever seen something you would do?" And I said, "Yes." Because this had just started broadcasting. I love broadcasting into Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. I'd seen the 700 Club. I said, "I'd go to work for Pat Robertson, but he doesn't know me. He doesn't even know I'm alive. So I'll go wherever you send me." And with that, I headed to Florida. And out of that, never doing one thing, God spoke to his guest producer, Joyce Walters, my name, when she prayed, and said, "Who should take your place?" And I'd met her in Israel one time, and God spoke my name to her. And within 10 days, I was working for Pat Robertson.
Wow.
So God has a great plan. He has a plan for everyone's life. Oh, he can, you know, the most useless person. And that's how I started in broadcasting.
And you worked for Dr. Pat Robertson for 20-plus years. Jackie, you have literally met everyone, I think, on the face of the planet, anyone that has anything to do with Christendom, movers and shakers. How exciting was that for you to do that for that number of years? And do you think that was preparation for what you are doing today?
Oh, absolutely. I believe it was preparation. And I love meeting people. In fact, I was thinking the other day, every time it seems, and I think you, Gen Z, will understand this. Every time I meet a person, and I know, I have a knowing feeling about that individual, it's like God is, they are in some way involved in whatever this great end-time thing. God is doing it right now. If you don't believe the nations are shaking, we're sitting here waiting for tornadoes. We have big warnings. There's just one storm after the other, and we're under that watch ourselves. God is shaking naturally the nations, but he has a divine shaking. I believe that we're going to live to see the greatest end-gathering, the greatest harvest the world has ever seen. And one of the things that happened was that George Otis retired. You remember, I went to work for George years before, and they asked me to step in. And I knew, I had a background, even my early background. I remember this old church, no matter how much I speak about their failings, it was these early principles that God worked in me, that Israel is the most important land in these end times in the Bible. And here I was, the president of High Adventure, Voice of Hope, literally with Israel and a chance to broadcast, right, you know, getting our license and everything, putting your program on, putting your friend Samantha's. We're in this great producer, Dan, that God has brought to you, that God has given me this opportunity to do something in Israel at this time, because it says the law will go out of Zion, but the word of the Lord will go out from Jerusalem. And we're sitting on an opportunity, Gen Z, with the first radio license ever granted in Israel, and it's been very difficult. If people, they're hearing the good times, but I'll tell you, there's lots of other things that go along with these opportunities. But we're enduring. We're steadfast.
Now, Jackie, in our remaining couple of minutes here, can you tell the listeners about HOT Telecommunications Network in Israel, the Voice of Hope, High Adventure Ministries, your global reach, and what the listener can do to help support what you were doing?
Oh, thank you. This is a great question. You know, when we were forced off the South Lebanon border, just like it is today, they're forcing Israel to give up land, and everything that Giorgio does, 700 of all those broadcasters over on that Lebanon-Israel border was gone when Israel, Barack, gave it back. Prime Minister Barack gave it back. Overnight, everything was gone. And I had just stepped in. I mean, it was not a pretty picture. However, God spoke to me. I was asked by some friends to go with them over in another Cyprus to broadcast. I said, no, I'm going into Israel. We got to stay in Israel. I did not know you're not allowed as a Christian to broadcast in Israel or into Israel. So we started broadcasting out of Jerusalem. And when I got over in Israel, unbeknownst to us, we picked a place where we were going to start broadcasting. Right across the street, behind the hedge, was that scripture, the law will go out of Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. We started broadcasting, doing what we could with broadcasters, putting people on. We would do breaking news, beautiful Israeli music. I have a program that's on there, a lot of different programs, and people that were trying. I'd gotten an email from Salem Broadcasting asking how they could work with us. And I said, let me pray about it. Just like meeting you. Again, it was one of those things.
And now, Jackie, for the sake of time, we're going to have to wrap it up. I look forward to having you back. But for those listeners, you can go to www.highadventure.org to learn more about this amazing ministry and support Israel. Jackie, thank you very much for being with us on Testimony. We look forward to having you back. God bless you. Thank you.
God bless all of you there, too. Bye-bye.
If you would like more information, you can visit our website at jensinebard.com. That's one word, JENSINEBARD.com. Or write to us at Testimony, P.O. Box 1333, Palm Desert, California, 92261. That's P.O. Box 1333, Palm Desert, California, 92261. I'm Jensine Bard. Please join us again for Testimony.